Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Come on, let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Yeah, let's go.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Live. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Here we go. It's a Friday night edition of the program. Welcome in to Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name's Matt Pauly. Great to have you with us this evening. If you want to get involved with what we've got going on, you can multiple ways to get connected to the program. Call or text 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air. And for those of you who are watching on the video stream, if you want to leave a comment in the chat, we will take those as we go along throughout the course of the evening. So I always joke with people that I have two jobs here at KMOX. I have my baseball season job, and I have my non-baseball season job, because the job and the hours and the things I do are very, 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 very different. And it feels like the job has shifted from one to the other over the last couple hours, because we had a Cardinal game earlier today, so I did the normal Cardinal stuff that I do. But then it got over with, and now we have no more Cardinal conflicts with Sports Open Line. So now tonight we have a full 2-hour edition of the program. So this kind of begins what my job looks like during the baseball off season for the most part. But I'll be doing post game tomorrow on Cardinals. So my analogy or my description doesn't totally work, because I've still got one more Cardinals related thing to do. But you get the idea. You get the sense of what I am talking about as we get into the off season portion of the year. Just still two more games for the Cardinals to play, but you're just kind of, not that the games don't matter. Every time you play a Major League Baseball game, every time a player puts on a Major League Baseball uniform, it absolutely does matter. But the stakes, there are no stakes, I guess, from a Cardinals standpoint, when you look at what's still on the line here in the final couple days of the season. Just not a great game today. And we talked a lot about this, and we're getting a lot of reaction to it. We talked about it early on during Redbird Rush Hour. Miles Michaelis' comments were interesting. This audio is courtesy of FanDuel Sports Network Midwest. This is not great radio, but I'm going to do this on the fly, see if I can scroll to where he said this, because I thought it was interesting when Michaelis talked about whether or not he could potentially be back next year. So this isn't going to sound great. I should have done this earlier, but here we go nonetheless.
Something that means a lot.
Being healthy is one of those things I say,
that's not it.
Working out and doing all the right things. And
this is great.
Take some time, right, in terms
here
of,
we go.
What's ahead for you?
Yeah, but again, I'm optimistic about the situation, about free agency. I wish I would have had a better year, but finish the year healthy, finish the year at least the last month, I think, pitching some better baseball, and 29 other teams out there, the possibilities could be endless, and I'm looking forward to that.
So that was where he was talking about that audio, again, courtesy of FanDuel Sports Network Midwest, where he hasn't closed the door on potentially being back with the Cardinals next season. And I said this earlier, I'll say it again. I'm really only bringing this back up because it got such a reaction when we were discussing it the first time. I don't know why you would bring him back. I don't. I think you can do better. And that doesn't mean there's a lot of Miles Michaelis just absolute haters out there. I appreciate, he's had some really good moments with the Cardinals, and I appreciate that. And he's a guy who, for the most part, has been able to take the ball every fifth day. Like, there's value in that. But he's not good enough. He's you want more. And even with him having a nice September where his ERA was below 4, he's going to finish out the year at 4.84, and he's getting a little bit older, and he is a declining player. And I don't know what the value in bringing Miles Michaelis back is when there are a lot of guys out there who can basically give you what Michaelis gives you or better, who are going to more closely fit the profile of what I think a Heim Bloom's going to be looking for. And this is the point that I didn't get to when we were talking about this on the Extra Inning Show and also on Redbird Rush Hour, because I talked about it largely from a PR standpoint about the reasons not to bring Michaelis back, because it gives the fans that feeling of, here we go again, it's just more of the same, yada, yada, yada. The other thing here is, go look at pitchers in Tampa. Go look at pitchers in Boston when Heim Bloom was there. The players that he went and acquired. Miles Michaelis doesn't fit, not that there's a single mold, it's not like there's just a single type of player, but I don't think Michaelis fits the profile that Bloom's going to be looking for. Now, I never say never on anything. I always leave the door open for me to be wrong on stuff, because I know I get stuff wrong, and I don't run away from that. But I'd be beyond shocked if Michaelis is back with the Cardinals like early on in free agency. And I would be pretty darn surprised, even if the only pathway that I see Michaelis coming back is if we're a week out from spring training and he doesn't have a job anywhere and he really wants to be with the Cardinals and he accepts some sort of low money deal or a minor league contract with an invite to spring training, something like that. That's the only scenario, and I still think that is a minute chance. I know people are hearing me talk, and they're hearing me. It almost sounds like I'm finding reasons for him to be brought back. That's not what I'm doing. That's not what I'm doing at all. Got a text message from the 314. Says, there is value in being a clubhouse leader. He can work on his pitching and compete in spring training. Should I read the final part of this? This is the text saying this. This is not me saying this, just to be clear. The text finishes with, and he's so cute. So that's where we've got that's part of the message there, which that final part, as much as it might mean something to you, I don't think that's going to factor into the decision that the Cardinals are making. I'm not trying to denigrate his clubhouse leadership and the things like that in terms of working on his pitching, competing in spring training. Look, he's an older guy. He is a declining player. There's not a lot of reason to believe that he's going to be able to revert back to the version of himself when he was playing at an all-star level. So that would be my first thing there. In terms of clubhouse leadership, they've got guys. Like, they've got guys. And this was one of the frustrating things a couple years ago where, you know, when they're bringing in Matt Carpenter and doing things like that, there was so much talk about making sure there's leadership in the clubhouse. I just go get good dudes, have good dudes who are good baseball players, and you're going to be fine. Okay. We need to, there doesn't just need to be this focus on, man, he brings a lot in. And I don't think there is a void of leadership with the Cardinals, whether they have Miles Michaelis or not. And I don't know what goes on behind closed doors, but I know the personality of these guys. And I don't think that's an issue whatsoever with this team. 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text. You can also tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air. We'll take a break. When we come back, our buddy Ethan Hannaford's going to hang out with us for a few minutes. We'll talk some Cardinals baseball with him. That's coming up in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Of our Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. It helps to turn on the microphone for people who are watching on the video stream. You saw me talking, you didn't hear anything. Yeah, it's because I didn't turn on the microphone. That happens every once in a while. It's like, why am I not hearing myself in my headphones? Oh, because I don't have my microphone turned on. It's a Friday. It's been a long day. Welcome back in to the program. 314-436-7900. In our next segment, I always tell you that on these days where the Cardinals play weekday day games and we do a shortened version of the extra inning show, I always try to carve out a segment on Sports Open Line where we'll take your phone calls and do all that sort of stuff. That's going to be on our next segment. So you can just, in about 15 minutes or so, 10, 15 minutes, you can call, text, tweet 314-436-7900. That's how you call or text. Tweet at me at Matt Pauly on air. And we'll give the forum to you in terms of what you want to talk about regarding Cardinals baseball. Our buddy Ethan Hannaford, part of the team here at KMOX, part of the team over down the hall at our sister station, 97.1 FM Talk. He also does stuff with STL Sports Central, doing some Cardinal post-game show and some other Cardinals coverage over there, and does a great job with it. Also, the radio voice of Lindenwood football. You're back on that this year, aren't you?
Yes, sir. Yeah, yep. I'm on all home games this year.
All right. Very good. So you're doing a lot of stuff. Thanks for stopping in.
Hey, anything for you, Matt Pauly.
So this year, the raw facts are they are a sub-500 team, the Cardinals, and they are a fourth-place team. That's not good. And whenever I have these conversations, I don't want to be accused of, you know, trying to spin something in their direction. So I am very, very much acknowledging the fact that this team is those two things, a team with a losing record and a team that's going to be in fourth place out of five teams. So that's not good. There were some good things that happened. There were some traits of the team that were good. It wasn't a 100% negative season, even if they don't reach the kind of goals that most fans would have liked them to see, even the most minimum goal of maybe being a winning club. How do you evaluate how this season played out?
Matt, I remember us having a conversation last winter during the off season when we were trying to gauge and see what this team exactly was going to be. And I think that most people, you included, correct me if I'm wrong, were somewhere in the range of, okay, this team's going to be right around 500, probably somewhere between 76 wins and maybe they can get to 85, 86 wins, but it was going to be somewhere in there. And they're going to finish in that range.
Yeah.
So you're with the loss today, they guaranteed that they would not reach 500. They would finish under 500 for the second time, and I think now only 18 years. But so it's right around where I think a lot of people had the expectation. It doesn't mean it's not disappointing, especially after the May that they had. I think everyone had a pretty healthy idea of what the Cardinals were going to be in 2025. And then all of a sudden, May comes along and they look all of a sudden like a completely different ball team. The expectations get elevated. And then late June, early July, really all of July, it just crashes and burns and it gets really ugly. And I think that the roller coaster of the season made it perhaps a little bit more disappointing. If we're talking about the May that they had coming in August or September, how much better are people feeling about this team than they are right now? So I think a lot of it has to do with the way that it played out. If you play more 500 ball throughout the year, perhaps it looks a little bit different.
Yeah, as Shawshank Redemption taught us, hope can be a dangerous thing, and that played out a little bit this year because, to your point, they played so well in May, and you almost get this glimpse of what maybe they can be, and a lot of people got caught up in it, myself included.
Hard not to.
Yeah, it is, and because you see it. But then you also see the other side of it, and at some point during the season, it became, okay, they're not the team that they were in May, but how good can they be? And they just sort of stuck around in the cursory of playoff contention for a while. I mean, they're 4.5 games out right now. So if we said that the ceiling for this team was a team that can kind of be in playoff contention and maybe they sneak in, well, they were in playoff contention. They didn't sneak in. So that's where they were at. It does bum me out that, you know, last year they were an above 500 team. I thought they had the chance to do that again this year. They didn't. They sold at the deadline. They had some bad periods. All that goes into it. But it is a bummer for me that this team will not finish 500 or better.
When you go into a season, right, not having a clear, this is what we are going to be, when the messaging is as mixed as it was, mm-hmm. you are setting up a dangerous situation to where, you know, you look at this team now, and it's exactly what you just said. This team could have been a playoff team, and that was kind of at one point at the beginning of the year something that was thrown out there by John Mozeliak saying, hey, we still think that this could be a good team, that we can be in the mix. Well, perhaps if the team is managed a little bit differently at a couple of different spots throughout the year as far as personnel that is on the roster, maybe you're looking at a couple of extra wins, and all of a sudden, you are still in the mix going into this final weekend series of the year.
The easy one, the low-hanging fruit in all this, is the Fetty for McGreevy.
Yes.
Like then, and we've talked about that a lot, and rightfully so. They stuck with Fetty way too long. I will take issue with John Mozeliak on something, on this in particular, because I do think you have to support your manager. And there was a point where you listened to Ali talk in post games, and it was very clear that he did not like what they were getting from Fetty. And there was multiple times where I got done listening to Ali and I went, Fetty's not making his next start in 5 days. There's no way the manager can say that about a dude and he makes his next start 5 days later. He's going to go to the bullpen. He's going to go to the injured list. He's going to get DFA'd. He's going to get just a spot skipped for one time. Like, something's going to happen, and it didn't. And I am very convinced that that was a decision that was being made above the head of Oliver Marmol, and that was a mistake. And we can say that even more now than before. And he's gone to other teams and hasn't been especially successful either. He's been a little bit better, but he went to, of course, Milwaukee made him a legit dude because he's got a sub-4 ERA there.
Shocker.
But we went to Atlanta, and it wasn't any better there. He was an 80 ERA in Atlanta. If I have a regret on the season, if I could hop in the DeLorean and see a different path, if they would have moved on from Fetty just a little bit earlier, and I mean, you can go to the game by game and kind of figure out where that should have been. If you get 10, 12 starts from McGreevy that didn't go to Fetty, how many starts did he make for the Cardinals this year? He made 20 starts, maybe even just half, maybe just 10. I don't know, but it seems like a missed opportunity.
And there's a healthy balance between the two. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but you interact with the fans just as much as any St. Louis media personality. Fans wanted him out of the rotation.
Yeah.
I mean, at the very beginning of the year. And the level-headed folks, I think, had an idea, right? Okay, this is not the time for that. You know, there's no need to rush McGreevy up here. Or I guess that's not even the right usage. It's more so that they didn't have a lot of depth. That was really the bigger issue. But it got to a point, right, where Fetty was clearly hurting your team. McGreevy was the better option. And once again, perhaps if the messaging is different at the beginning of the year, people aren't nearly as upset by that as they were. But the way that you had kind of set all that up, it made it that much more frustrating. And yeah, that is the clear and obvious one. If Eric Fetty starts, I would even go, I'd say five less games. How many of those do you win? When you look at the minimal amount of games that they're out right now, maybe it's the difference between them being eliminated on the last day of the year and being eliminated five games out.
And I think sometimes you have to be willing to look at somebody who's not performing well, because there's always going to be this fear about, well, can the guy that replaces this guy be better? And when you've got, we talk about replacement level players. If you've got a guy performing at a replacement level or above, but it doesn't reach expectations, I think that's a legit fear, because bringing somebody in to match that production is going to be tough. But when you've got somebody who is performing at such a low level where you should easily be able to find guys.
It's so obvious.
Taylor and Wilkerson never got an opportunity. They both pitched well at AAA this year. They are the dictionary definition of replacement level players. When those guys are just sitting there, I don't think there's any reason to be afraid of what you're going to, because the idea is you go with McGreevy. Well, then what if somebody gets injured? Then you have no starting pitching depth. Well, the guys who are there were probably going to, at worst, they were going to give you what you were already getting from Fetty. So you,
at that point, when right. he was at his worst.
Yeah. So yes. you're in a better spot anyways.
Yes, you said it exactly. Now, I will say this.
It took me a really long time to get to that point.
But yeah. And this was an outlier year in the sense that the Cardinals had, what, seven pitchers start games for them this year? Is that right? Is that what the number was? Seven? That is going to happen so rarely in Major League Baseball, especially today's.
It may never happen again in our lifetimes.
Exactly.
You're younger than I am, but in both of our lifetimes, that may never happen again.
So that is something to take into consideration. You know, the hindsight on that one is very much so 2020, which gives me a little bit willingness to give John Mozeliak the benefit of the doubt to a certain extent. But even to that point, it still went too far. And it's a clear one that I think everyone in Cardinal Nation can agree on was one of probably the most obvious mismanagements of this 2025 team.
Yeah, it was frustrating. And I don't get upset about them selling at the deadline. Actually, I don't. It's easy to say, well, how many more wins would have they had if they didn't sell at the deadline? If you take a step back and look at the production from the bullpen post trade deadline, it was really good. It didn't take a step back. Now, there was a game or two, or maybe there's three games where they didn't have Swanson or O'Brien or Leahy or Romero, a group of those guys available, and that next group came in to provide high leverage, and you ended up losing those games. So you can sit there and make the argument, well, they may have won those games, but you can also make the argument that the losses they took as a result of the bullpen was not, those losses did not come at a higher clip than what they were coming from before the deadline.
You could make an argument. I'd have to look at the numbers that it may have been even lesser than. I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe Ryan Helsley, if he stays in St. Louis, doesn't completely fall apart in the second half of the season. But I mean, he was atrocious in large part in New York here this post trade deadline. So you know, if there is, you said it right there. The selling at the deadline, I don't think necessarily hurt this team. In fact, at that point, you know, if it's really about runway, give these guys some opportunity. Boy, I tell you what, I feel a lot better about this bullpen going into 2026. Having seen them get these chances that they did, you feel a lot better about it going into the upcoming year, I think.
Yeah, I love the pieces that they have in the bullpen, for sure. And I think they need to add. If Phil Maton's willing to walk back in that door, I jump at that opportunity. Like you have to add to the bullpen next year, no matter what the expectations are for next season, even if they're going to be selling off and everything. That's just one area that it can't be blowing up every night and catching on fire every night. You need to have some stability in the bullpen, but I'm with you. I really like Matt Swanson. I've been very encouraged by Riley O'Brien. Akala is a really interesting guy.
Yes.
And he throws hard. And if you can get him to know where he's throwing it, he can be a high leverage guy. So they're in a good spot in the bullpen.
A frustrating year overall, but still, when you break it down piece by piece, there are positive things. Players that took, I think, some pretty big steps this year. And you can go through the roster, and I'm sure that you've been able to do that some. You know, Alec Burleson, Yvonne Herrera, Brendan Donovan, Mason Wynn on the offensive side, and there's some pitchers. We mentioned the bullpen as well. So there are still positive things to take away from a season like this. I think it's more so one of those years where you look at it and you say, it could have been more. If this would have been handled slightly, a little bit differently, maybe it ends up being, you know, this rather than that. And I think that's some of the frustration from Cardinal Nation is, to a certain extent, it's a what could have been kind of year.
Ethan Hannaford, part of the team here at KMOX, also works down at our sister station, 97.1 FM Talk, doing a lot with Mark Reardon. You see him and you hear him over at STL Sports Central with Cardinals coverage there. Ethan, thanks for hanging out. Have a
good
weekend.
Always a pleasure. Anytime.
All right, that's Ethan Hannaford. We'll take a break. When we come back, this is your opportunity to chime in. How are you feeling about anything Cardinals related? We'll talk to you. You can call, text, tweet, or leave a video comment. 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you call or text. You can tweet at me at Matt Pauley on air, MattPauley on air. Or you can, like I said, leave a comment in the chat on the video stream. We've got more in a moment on KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Fee and fees apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Get it on a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Great to have you with us today. 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text. You could tweet at me as well if you'd like, at Matt Pauly on air. Let's grab our first phone call. This is the open line portion of Sports Open Line. I always try to make sure to do this at least for a segment or two on days of weekday day games where we don't get to do it for the extra inning show. Tom is our first caller. Tom, you're up on Sports Open Line.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. My comment is, you see this done in a lot of other sports, but I don't know why the Cardinals, if they make a trade of Arenado or Gray to the other team, they could base it on his performance. Like, we're going to cover $15 million of his salary. But if he hits like 285, then that drops to $10 million. Or if he plays like every game, it drops to $5 million. In other words, prorate it like you do in other sports where they say they make a trade now for a player to be named later, and depending on the performance, it could be a second-round draft choice or a third. You know what I mean? And do the same thing, but in regards to money. It's not a guarantee we're going to give you $15 million, but if he does this, then it goes down. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes
sense. Trying to suggest?
I don't know if they're allowed. Tom, I should know a little bit more about, like, from a collective bargaining agreement. I don't know if they are allowed to do that. And, you know, so you mentioned, like, draft picks. Like, if a guy plays in, in 15 games while being traded in the NFL, well, that third-round pick turns into a second-round pick. That I understand exactly what you're saying. I don't know what the baseball version of that would look like. And to be honest with you, I always try to admit when I don't know things, I don't know what would be allowed and what wouldn't be allowed when it comes to the collective bargaining agreement.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for taking my call. This is a suggestion.
All right, Tom, I appreciate it. I don't think it's a bad suggestion at all. And if you're the Cardinals, you really root for Nolan Arenado if he's going to go somewhere and you're going to get more because of the performance. That is, I would need to ask somebody on what the CBA implications of that would be. It would feel like that would be something that would actually be easier to do in baseball than other sports, because baseball doesn't have a salary cap. If you've got a salary cap, that's a lot tougher to do, because you basically have to reserve enough space to cover the maximum amount, if that makes sense, as opposed to in baseball where there's no salary cap. Don has given us a call. Hey, Don, you're on Sports Open Line.
Thanks for taking my call, Matt. I've got three things for you. Okay. I love your post. I love your show. I listen to you every night when you're on. Here's the thing. I think Chaim Bloom needs to blow up this team. Nobody's untouchable on this team. I think that he needs to do that. I think Marvel and his coaches got to go. And I'm really disappointed in Arenado because I'm a big fan of his. And, you know, he's had better years in Colorado since he, you know, he hasn't had the years like he did in Colorado. He's been a major disappointment. And basically, they have to trade him. Now, like I said, he struck out with the bases loaded today, and he had a pitch to hit. He just didn't make connect. He couldn't connect on the pitch. And like I said, he's been a major disappointment to me. And I'm one of his big fans, because I've called on your show a few times and let you know how I feel about Arenado. But he's disappointed me. And like I said, he's declined as a player, and I think he's finished. Matt, I want to hear your comments.
You bet, Don. Appreciate the phone call for sure. He is a declining player. You go back to 2022 when he was top three in the MVP. 2022, he was fantastic. He had almost a 900 OPS playing 148 games that year. He is still a very, very, very good defensive third baseman. I don't think the Cardinals did him any favors this year in how much they played him and in allowing him to stay active when he had that finger issue. The finger issue led to the shoulder issue. He missed a bunch of time. I talk about this over and over and over. There have been stories written this year about Paul Goldschmidt and what he's been able to do in New York and how that's very much connected to how they give him more rest. The Cardinals, if a veteran player says they want to be in the lineup, the player's in the lineup. And I would be hopeful that under Heim Bloom, that becomes a little bit different, where there's going to be more data. I'm not sure how much like sports science data they use when it comes to like recovery and things like that. It's something that that's not even something that's used as much in baseball. Baseball uses a lot of stuff. I don't feel like that's something we hear talked about much in baseball. But their recovery is a huge thing in terms of performance, and that's tough when you play 162 games. I would be hopeful that whether it's with the Cardinals or almost 99% more likely somewhere else, I would hope that people in charge would actually give Arenado the opportunity to have a bounce back season by playing him less so he can get more in those games. In terms of not having any players that are off, every player is tradable based off what you're going to get back. But my general feeling is you need to keep Mason Wynn. You need to keep Alec Burleson. You need to keep Yvonne Herrera. You need to keep Michael McGreevy. You need to keep Matthew Liberatore. That's kind of my list. And not that you couldn't trade any of those guys, but if I'm going to trade any of those players, I have to be blown out of the water for what's being offered. Those are the players that I just immediately say, don't want to move on from those guys. Want those guys on the roster here for the next few years, and they can be a part of what you're going to be doing moving forward. Carol is given to call. Hey, Carol, you're on Sports Open Line.
Hello. I'd like to speak about William Contreras, whom you were talking in the previous program. I hope that it's decided not to try to trade William Contreras. He doesn't want to be traded or hasn't wanted to as of about 6 weeks ago. And Mozeliak told him at that time he wanted to keep them. But I hope they keep him, even if Burleson could give about the same performance, and even if Burleson is younger. I think there's a certain intangible ability that Wilson Contreras has, a certain spark. I don't know if it transfers to the dugout. Certainly it's there on the field, even sometimes when he goes overboard. It's there for the fans. And I'd like to keep that spark, given that the spark is playing well.
All right, Carol, appreciate it. I generally would like to see Wilson Contreras back with this team. Again, is he untouchable? If I get blown away by an offer for Contreras, do I go with it? Yeah. So that's why we leave the door open. And he has not said anything since I feel like there's more to accomplish. I paraphrased. I don't remember the exact words he used, but this is the general gist of it. He basically said that he came to St. Louis to win. He came to St. Louis to accomplish some things. He hasn't been able to accomplish those things yet as a team, so why would he ever want to get moved? That's the last thing we heard from Wilson Contreras. And I don't know if he's had conversations behind closed doors with Heim Bloom and company about maybe backing off of that. That is certainly a possibility. I don't know if he is going to say anything publicly. To be perfectly honest with you, I don't know if he's with the team right now in Chicago. I'm not there. I haven't asked anybody. I don't know if he made this trip. I have no clue if he's there. If anybody knows if he's there or not, feel free to text in. But I haven't seen anything. A lot of time injured players, you know, like Mason Wynn's not with the team. He left the team. He actually got the surgery done today or yesterday, and it was a success with the meniscus. But that's when guys are injured and their seasons are over, a lot of times they don't travel. So I have zero clue whatsoever. I'm not with the team, so I haven't been in the clubhouse. I don't know if Contreras is there or not to address something. If he is with the team, I think somebody said to us on the chat at one point that Wilson Contreras was going to address his future at some point this weekend while the team was in Chicago. I don't know where that came from. I'm not saying that's not true. I haven't seen that. And maybe it is. Maybe I just missed something because I'm not perfect and I don't see absolutely everything that comes down. But Contreras has had a nice season, right? I was slightly disappointed in the performance based off the fact that I thought his move to first base was going to result in a lot more production, and it did not work out that way. That doesn't mean that I'm disappointed with the performance. And he is more than playing up to his contract. Just finished out a year where he got close to an 800 OPS, Leading the team in home runs right now with 20. There's two more games to go, so Herrera and Burleson could still have something to say about that before all is said and done. But the numbers are respectable. Really wants to win. Fiery competitor. Does he go over a line every once in a while? Yeah, sure. That's what happened that day where the high chew ended up all over the field. But I'm a Contreras guy, but I'm not willing to sit here and say, if you get an offer that blows you away, you just hold on to them just because. Bernie Mikolas made the point during Red Bird Rush Hour, and he's right. Cardinals are void of right-handed bats that can hit for power, that can put doubles down in the gap, they can put it over the wall. They don't have that for the most part outside of Contreras. So if you move on from Contreras, you have to find a right-handed bat somewhere. You are incredibly unlikely to find a right-handed bat that's going to give you the same power, same production as Contreras. But again, if they are overtly saying that this is going to be a full rebuild, then that doesn't matter quite as much. That's where the messaging that is delivered to us over the handful of days. We're expecting two press conferences next week. We're expecting an end-of-season wrap-up press conference with John Mozeliak and then a looking-forward press conference with Chaim Bloom. We don't know the exact details on when those are going to be taking place, but I would think they are going to be happening early in the week, and then we can talk much more intelligently about what this whole thing looks like. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up hour number one. It's Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Starting to wrap up hour number one of the program. I got a couple text messages that I want to get to before we get out of here, just talking through Cardinals baseball. Text message from Robert says, I would love to see Phil Maton back with the Cardinals next year. He did a great job for the team this year. Yeah, if you can, I don't think you'll get him for the same price that you got him for this year. I would be very hopeful that he's going to get more interest, and you know, he's done a nice job since the trade. So, but if there's an opportunity for him to be a Cardinal, I thought he was just a perfect fit with the team, and I would like that. Another text message from 314 says, improving the pitching would be great. However, a middle-of-the-line back impact bat would vastly improve the Cardinals. I can't disagree with that, although I do think the void of talent, to me, I don't know. They just need a lot of high-end talent. They need pitching high-end talent. They need dudes in the middle of the lineup that can hit home runs. They need a lot. That's where they're at. Another text message from the 314 says, you would trade all-star Brendan Donovan. Ali adores him. Four doubles in one game, etc. I wouldn't love trading Brendan Donovan. I love Brendan Donovan, too. I really do. But when you think about the various trade pieces that you have, Donovan is the guy who's going to get you as much as just about any. He's probably your most valuable trade piece. And then it comes down to the timeline for when you're going to compete, because you look at how long you have control over Donovan. He's going into his second year of arbitration, and then we'll have one more year of arbitration, and then he's an unrestricted free agent in 2028. If the timeline on this rebuild is at a point where you don't feel like you're going to be competing at the highest level until 2028, and going into 2026, you can trade Brendan Donovan away, and the return can be something that can really impact you in a big way in those years moving forward, it would pain me. Like, I was thinking about this the other day. It was the day that the Cardinals had the comeback win and he had the four doubles. And I was listening to him talk when he did the post-game interview with Alexa on TV. And he was talking about how wins like those are great for a team because it helps set the understanding and the expectations and everything moving forward. So he was talking, like, you just loved it. He was talking about that win being able to impact the team next season and guys experiencing that and having that experience and taking it moving forward. I loved it. I loved every second of it. And when he's saying this, I'm like, man, he cares so much about this team. He wants this team to win so much. I would be so bummed if he's gone and the team eventually gets to winning again. Like, he's somebody I want to see experience this team winning at a high level. So this is not a, hey, they should trade Brendan Donovan. This is a, hey, it might kind of make sense to trade Brendan Donovan when you really assess the entire situation. That's all I'm saying. We've got a lot more coming up here in the program. We'll take you until 8 o'clock this evening. Appreciate you being with us today. It is a Graybar Sports Open Line. We've got, we'll be back after the 7 o'clock news right here on KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.